This recording, Oklahoma 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sherry Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of a territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. Then she got there. There was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, okay? Which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so she made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose became to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling comma comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, okay. So it would take some time to force her to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. then efforts were futile, and in no time the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to comma and give her some relaxing bath. Born and raised in southeastern Oklahoma, of course we was poor folk, ramped through all that, and then as time went along, then my father got a good job at Wilson's Packing House, and we just come up through the lifetime a little bit, and got, the family got some more money then, and of course went through high school, and we, did all this, and then I wrestled. We did all kinds of sports, and of course we was in, got up to where we was in the good groups, where to where you was respected, which upper, I don't know what you call it, but I was a all-state wrestler, coming out of the boonies sticks and stuff like that, and come up here, and then, at first I come up here, and, of course, I had calluses on my feet like this, couldn't wear a pair of shoes or anything else, and so I was like a little animal, but I was always stout, so I got into wrestling, and they taught me how to wrestle, get the basics of that, and got into all that, and, of course, the family kept, coming up through there, and then I got into construction, and I started off in neighbors, this and that, and all commercial throughout my life for 30 years, and then got into business for myself, and then kept coming up and up, and then finally I said, well, I've had enough of this, and then so I was building schools and stuff, and this architectural firm, the architect that was working there, an employee of the architectural firm, they fired him, and I finished out the rest of the job without the architect, and I did all the drawings, and then when I got through with their project, and the gentleman I was kind of partners with got cancer, and 2 years later, then he had passed away, and then Clarence Williams come to me, and he said, Ed, I want to talk to you. He said, you got good field experience, and you've been in all for years and years, and I've done a lot of core engineer work. Been a superintendent and kind of made my way up through the ranks, from chucking corn to working for an architect.
That's impressive.
So that's kind of the way it's been.